Hello, you're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. I'm Jay Nemro, and you are listening to yet another wonderful MP3 file that I've come up with. I was talking in the last one about trying to come up with a purpose for my website besides just being Jay's website. If that was all I was really after, I could do a blog and probably do a better job and probably get a little more notice. I actually want to do something that serves a bigger purpose than just being personal rant, spewing journal type thing. That was something I came up with as soon as I saw that I had come up with something on my server farm that had lots of capability, lots of message capability, lots of a community thing to it. So when you get that capability, what you want to do is create a community. So I finally sat down and said, I need, see, and it's hard. I don't have friends so much as I have people that I am in the same room with or people that I do things with. I don't go to parties. I don't hang out with other people except for my family. And it makes it so that, people say, well, who are your friends? And you go, I don't really have any friends. And you know, people get offended by that because they consider me a friend. And when I don't talk about them in those terms, they get offended and upset and say, oh, well, I'm your friend. How come you don't think you're my friend? Or I'm your friend? You go, no. It's just me. It has nothing to do with you. You're a wonderful person. It says, I don't think of it in the world of friends. I think of it in the world of responsibility. It's people I have obligations. And I look at those things and that kind of thing. It sounds bad. But then I said, surely there's other people that are like that. And I've been trying to come to a realization of who I am and then trying to find a peer group. You know, it's difficult for the reason that I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. I got not really involved. You have to understand, everything I get into is kind of fluttering and fleeting. At best, you could call me a fair-weather friend. And it isn't that I don't think well of other people, that I'm not trying to be nice. I just don't have that kind of relationship with people. I will try to do nice things for people, but they say, oh, he does it because he's my friend. And you go, no, I just do it because I feel the need to do that. It is, I do it to some stranger on the street probably as well. So, you know, people think it imbues them with a special thing that we're friends and we're buddies. And you go, I don't have any friends or buddies. I play this way with everybody. And, you know, I guess that might be offensive to a lot of people. Anyway, when my son was diagnosed as autistic and started kind of looking into that world, not that I got into it. I didn't really get into the whole thing. You know, there's kind of a whole support group around it, and I wasn't finding myself becoming a part of that because in my part of the world, autism is really a anomaly. I think there are other parts of the world, Silicon Valley, for instance, where being autistic is almost a character trait because so many people are being found with that kind of stuff. I don't think it's as high grade in autism as what my son has. Maybe it is, I don't know. But it because it's happened in Silicon Valley, it's kind of brought the point to a lot of at least lay people. I don't think the experts like it. The experts like having things stay kind of in the expert realm. They don't want people poking around and saying that they think they know something about these things. It's very important that people don't. People leave it to the experts. And so the experts get really angry and really jabby and say, you don't know, you have no clue. I know what's happening here because I've studied this. And you go, well, I live with it. You go, well, no, you don't. If you can speak, I really think it's almost kind of sick and twisted. And you have to wonder about people who attach themselves to autism research or to autism, to autism advocacy, is that these are sick people that almost kind of profit off of the misfortune of others. And I've always made a definite distinction between what I think are autistic traits and what I think is mental retardation slapped onto it. I try to make the whole thing make sense to other people by putting race with it. There was once a time when race was considered a disability, an illness, a disease. Not like you would catch it. Everybody knew that you couldn't catch it unless you had sex with, you know, like a black person, for instance. You wouldn't all of a sudden become black. It wasn't like leprosy that was spread. But, you know, people were shunned because they were from different races. They behaved differently or stuff like that. Once we got past those kinds of things, at least to a degree, we started finding out that there were real differences between races. You know, black people are more susceptible to certain diseases than white people are. White people are more susceptible to some diseases than blacks are. And that you could really kind of draw a line. And you said, you know, it isn't just skin color. It isn't like, oh, the color of my skin doesn't mean a thing. And you go, yes, it does. In a biological sense, it really does. Because there's some things about you that are different than people with a lighter skin color, with Caucasian. Okay, so let's bring that around to autism. You know, people can say, oh, well, black people have a higher incidence, and I'm not saying this is true, this is just painting a picture for you, and it's not because it's true. I know if people listen to this, they're going to send me hate mail and say, you're a liar, I hate you, you're just bigoted. And you go, shut up. I'm just simply making a statement so that I can make a point about, I think we should talk about autism as being a different way of being, a different kind of person, and it's genetic, and you can see it. And that there's nothing that person can do, or there's nothing that person can do without pain, torture, despair, to make him into something normal. Okay. It's like saying black people are more prone to heart disease. I think it actually may be true, but it doesn't matter. You know? Or no. Okay, let me try to bring us a little bit closer to autism. I always see it as two different things. You have your autistic traits, the things that make you autistic, or at least proto-autistic, leading into autism. I think we tend to mix these things up. We don't see a separation between what would be autistic traits and what would be kind of mental retardation problems. And we don't make that separation. We've lumped it all together. We've mixed it all up. We've seen what we define as autistic people, and we've made all kinds of traits, and we've made that the diagnosis of that. If you have these many traits in this kind of way, and you have all these things together, or at least a reasonable amount of them, we'll call you autistic, and that becomes your thing. And there's certain therapies and certain treatments and certain ideas that people have that they attach to that. That's really, you know, medicine and psychology especially is really a weird field in that it kind of promotes these kind of things and says, oh, this is all scientific. And you go, well, yeah, sort of, but honestly, you know, people always say, well, we haven't figured out why this happens. And you go, well, that was my first impression of if you didn't know why it happened, there was nothing you could really do about it. You must have a cause before you can start trying to work on effects. And these guys are trying to work on these, like autism. They found out that you don't get money unless you start saying, we're working on a cure for it. They have no clue what they're doing. But you know what? You chase after that money. You prey on people's attitudes. You prey on people's fear and their desire to have their child or other children. You know, I love all children. My child suffers. I want all. I don't really want any other child to suffer. So let's all throw money at autism research so that we can figure out what the problem is and cure it. We're going to go for a cure to autism. And you know, it sounds really good. It sounds really noble and mighty and like you're a wonderful person. But it's dirty with problems. Anyway, like I said, you know, you could easily offend a lot of people by saying black people are stupid. Black people don't have the mental capacity of white people. Now, that might be, you might be able to make that inference if, for instance, there was a truth that said more black people were had mental illnesses than white people did. You could say, hey, it's just dangerous to be a black person. You know, and I think the whole illustration behind these things is to say, you know, let's separate these things. There are perfectly normal black people. They have some variation from Caucasian traits, society, whatever. They're genetic, and you have to respect the genetic differences between people and don't get weird about it. But then you could also add on top of that the fact that somebody might have a mental illness. They might be mentally retarded. I know that's not a proper term to make, but there's no term that's, you know, easier. You know, we've kind of almost gotten rid of that because we said, oh, he doesn't have a, he's ill, like he's going to take a pill and he's going to be okay. No, he's disabled, you know, retarded. He's behind, he's going to stay behind, it's not going to change. Anyway, so everything, you know, I'm sorry. I think what happens is those who have an autism diagnosis actually have genetic traits that I think are indicative of a different kind of person, you know. I don't know if it's race, I don't know if it's ethnic, I don't know what it is. It seems to be passed by genes, so you could say, you could put it in a race category or an ethnic category, because those things are both that way. But you don't have to. I think there's that facet of it. And then there is the facet of mental retardation. Now, that's always kind of comes part and parcel with a diagnosis of autism. That's how you figure it out. Something's going wrong, and it's become to the point to where it's starting to worry people. Now, I think we mix those, and then we say we call it autism. That at least with those kinds of behaviors, those kind of traits, there's normal and then there's autistic. And I tend to fall, if you were to put it on a big spectrum, I would tend to fall on the normal scale. I probably wouldn't be, not that I've ever tried, who knows, I might be able to. I probably would be on the normal side. I probably wouldn't be diagnosed as autistic, although I have many autistic Asperger syndromes. Autism spectrum traits. I tend to have a lot of those. But they don't disable me to the point to where I need a diagnosis. So I'm not considered autistic, and I'm just considered really weird, odd. I behave differently. I think differently. I tend to gravitate toward technical jobs. I tend to stay away from jobs that involve a lot of people because, you know, I do better dealing with your technology than I do dealing with you. Anyway, so all these interesting things go on, and I'm trying to make I'm trying to set up a community around people who have kind of autistic traits, and we might have to sit down and talk about that kind of stuff when it finally comes down to it. And people who don't have what I would consider the mental retardation side of autism, which seems to be a key part of getting the diagnosis, which is fine. There are some people that really can't function enough in society to hold down a job, do things like that, and they end up being disabled. They typically don't have mental handicaps. They just have employment handicaps, other kinds of things. And a lot of those things kind of get wrapped up in autism, too. It's called often called high-functioning autism. And I think it's just people poking around at this one thing. They gave it one term in the past, and they're trying to slap on other things around it to explain things that are similar but aren't so debilitating. So you have this whole cluster around autism, and I'm trying to bring it to the point to where it isn't considered a disability. You can have, for lack of a better term, I've decided to start calling it xenoliths. That's what those people are, xenolithic. It's just different, and different in a certain way. And I almost want this thing to be kind of raised to kind of an ethnic or race or culture group. So we need to bring these people together on this kind of a scale, so that we can start respecting these people for what they can contribute to the larger society, without having to always say, you know what, these people are weird. We need to beat the weirdness out of them by behavioral therapy, by drugs to try to calm them down, to try to make them behave better in school. You know, school is the great cultural, it is the dictator of culture. If you can fit in with school, your culture's okay and we can accept it. If you don't fit in well at school, by golly, you better learn how to. I would easily kind of connect this with ADHD, people who have a higher energy level, and that this is a genetic thing. I think I'm starting to wonder if a lot of our things that we tend to call diseases that we attribute to genetics shouldn't be classed as diseases. They should be classed as different modalities of being. And that when you do that, you put a whole new spin on things. And it works better. Anyway, my time is up. I'm already at my thing. I've been sitting here for about 3 or 4 minutes, and I need to get in and start getting my job done. This is Jay Nimro. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigables, and we'll talk about this some more, and about how I'm wanting this my server farm to serve as kind of a community meeting place for people like me. If I'm going to start a community, it's important that I attract people like me, so we can feel like we're not just weird, isolated, whack jobs. I don't want to be a weird, isolated, whack job anymore. I want to be respected for what I can do. And I feel like I've gotten that, but I like to be able to hang out with people who are like me and who don't have, who have the same need for the kind of interfacing with other people that I have. You know, I tend to offend people because I'm not a friend. And you go, well, it's not that you're not a friend. It's just, you know, I can't put it in terms that they understand because it's always offensive. You know, you don't like me. And you go, what? I'm indifferent to you. and oh, that's just so, oh, that's just rude. You're being mean to me. And you go, what? Get a grip. Anyway, right, it's time to go. This is Jane Emerald, quasi-nefatical dentalist. Hopefully we'll change the name soon so that it'll be a little bit more cool. My name is Jane Emerald. Have a nice day. Bye.